child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? We can't go back. Not this way.
But this is the way that we came.
I know. And it will take us directly to Herod.
Just as he asked us to do.
No. Won't do. We've got to protect this child.
Protect him? From whom?
We all observed Herod's reaction when we told him of our intentions to go visit this newborn Messiah.
He told us to return to him to report what we saw. That's what we're doing.
It was the way that he wanted information, assuring us that he was going to worship this newborn king. Did you see his eyes? Did you see Herod's eyes?
They were dead.
He's not known for his warmth. Besides, changing course will add 3 months to the journey.
Friends, please, listen to me. Those who came before us were shown the scriptures by Daniel. And then we have studied these scriptures. We've weighed them. We've found everything that there is to find. But we discovered faith.
We followed the dazzling star for months. That takes faith.
Yes, yes, that is faith, yes. But consider this. We are kingmakers. We have inherited the power to give authority and rule for generations.
Yes.
I believe that today, we have found the one whom I believe we will bow to. What child is this to whom kingmakers bow? This changes everything. This child threatens Herod. Threatens all who worship power.
Oh, no. We are not going to change our plans just because you have some uninformed
worship. I had a vision.
Go on.
A dream.
Last night, I thought it was just fatigue settling in. But now I know it was a warning. To not return to Herod.
You might have mentioned this a bit earlier, friend. You are right. This changes everything.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love. The Son of Mary.
A blessing to see you all on this beautiful Sunday morning. If you would like to follow along with me, you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 is where we will be at today. As we bring this unique season that is filled with stories and songs and characters within Scripture that have had the opportunity to awaken our hearts and our imaginations to something deeper and much fuller than anything else in this world can provide. This season is very hastily, very quickly coming to an end. And I am, and I have been reminded of passages such as Isaiah 9, verse 2, where the prophet says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And this passage brings to mind images such as Mary and Eve that we have looked at week after week after week, which really bring this season to its fullness. And it awakens us to the big picture of what's going on and what went on during the first Christmas when God invaded Earth. And I'm reminded of stories from the Metropolitan Museum of Art where a statue that depicts itself of Adam crashes in the middle of the night. And a restoration team took 12 years to put Adam back together again. Again, that story has so much meat and so much influence to it. As God began the restoration project of putting all of humankind back together again during the first Christmas. When Luke wrote these words in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent, God initiated, God moved, God worked in human history in such a way that human history has been nor will be the same ever again. And in the midst of this God sending Gabriel with the greatest of great news, there was this long-awaited tension, this long-awaited angst amongst God's people for God to step in and do something. For God to wake up and to initiate, to start something. Passages from Psalm 13, verse 1, echo throughout the First Testament. How long, O God, will you wait? How long will you sit in the shadows and not do anything? How long, O God, must we wait? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Luke 1:26 shows the answer to the angst and to the tension and to the seasons of waiting. And here is the unfortunate truth that all of us have to pay attention to in the midst of our waiting. See, we celebrate now, and we'll celebrate tomorrow morning, the kind of the fulfillment of the Advent, the first Advent, the arrival of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will celebrate that. But we are also waiting in anticipation for this second Advent, the second arrival, the second coming of our Rescuer and our King to save and to redeem all of mankind, all of humankind, and all of God's creation. Romans chapter 8 portrays that creation itself is waiting in eager expectation for God to come and to rescue and to heal and to redeem. So, followers of Jesus, waiting for the second coming. But here's an unfortunate truth within all of the waiting. The longer that they waited, and the longer that we wait, the more susceptible they were and we are to false stories of their age in the midst of the waiting. Some 2,000 years ago, just like today, waited with integrity. Some with impatience. Some eased their anxiety with idolatry. Some with the juggling of other stories amongst their own story that they believe in, like we do today. We believe in this story amongst other worldviews, amongst other meta-narratives in the world that we believe that we are constantly juggling around in our hearts. You and I live in such tension today. The first 2 weeks of Advent, we looked at Mary and Elizabeth and Joseph. And all three of those characters faced opportunities. They had invitations, if you will, about how to respond to God moving and to God working. Joseph, as a righteous man, was faced just like Mary to make a decision regarding this extremely fear-filled situation that neither of them wanted, but were faced with nonetheless. Many of us face fear-filled situations in our lives. So we look to Mary and to Joseph and to how they responded. And Joseph steps out in peace-filled faith. In the midst of the insecurity, in the midst of the unknowingness of what was going to happen, he stepped out in this peace-filled faith that, all right, God, I am going to trust you no matter what my circumstances are telling me who to trust and what to trust. I am going to step out in a peace-filled faith. Mary and Elizabeth stepped out in a joy-filled faith. The third week of Advent, we looked at the shepherds. The shepherds who were interrupted and they were invited to see and experience the hope-filled truth and reality of what happens when God shows up. And it has to be said, none of this would have been easy. None of this would have been easy. We get the Sports Center highlights of Joseph's story and Mary's story and the shepherd's story. These quick little snippets that come in and go out before we know it. And then we move on saying, this is such an easy thing for them to do. My life is so much harder. My circumstances are so much different. The truth is, none of this would have been easy. There would have been much fear, much angst, much tension about how to move forward with the circumstances that faced them. In the midst of all the fear, in the midst of all the insecurity, this is really a happening heart with all of it and all the mental hoops that they would have jumped through as they were moving forward. They stepped out in faith. They stepped out in a joy-filled faith. They stepped out in a peace-filled faith. They stepped out in a hope-filled faith. Last week, Jared led us in this all-encompassing awareness of the love-filled mission of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. A scandalous love, no doubt, like no other. I have mentioned albums like Tommy Prophet this year. This year, Advent has been all about worship for me, where I am listening and searching and finding songs that invite me and draw me in to what this season is all about, because I've needed it for myself. I've needed it to cast out the commercialization of this season. I've needed it to draw perspective that this is the second Christmas year in a row that I've been without my mom and my dad, a very weird reality to go through. So for me this year, I have needed worship. So the Tommy Prophet album, which, by the way, how many of you have taken the time to sit and watch that entire concert? It's truth telling time. That's like 0.05% of our congregation. Guess what you're doing tonight on YouTube? I cannot stress it. And maybe you need more witnesses. Maybe this is one of those, we need two or more witnesses to solidify what the preacher man is saying.
It was good.
Thank you. I got a shepherd. Good. I got a shepherd backing me up here. That'll work. Tommy Prophet, Birth of a King. Worship with it tonight. It'll draw tonight in a much bigger perspective for you. The Grinch, you've watched it 6,000 times. It's fine, whatever. Tommy Prophet, Birth of a King, on YouTube. 100% free. 100% ad-free. So you don't have to mute it when some weird ad is trying to sell you something that you want absolutely nothing to do with. Or wait for the countdown so you can skip it, so you can move on. None of that. Tommy Prophet, Birth of a King. I also introduced a song to you by Crowder called I've Heard About You. Powerful song, beautiful song that draws you into some of the doubt and some of the questioning and some of the wrestling that all of us go through with. But they've got this one line in there that I absolutely love. I want us to hear it.
I've heard about you, all those stories that they tell. They say you came to fix a broken world, and that your name's Emmanuel. I've heard about you, born in Bethlehem, the Christ, who left his throne to rescue even a daughter's heart like mine. Tasting joy.
That God sent Jesus into the world to save even a doubter's heart like mine. Could it be true? And what the psalm then goes on to invite everyone into is that if it's true, it changes everything. If this story is true, it changes everything. So throughout this Advent season, we remind each other, we remember, we watch, we wait, we work, we worship, we tell others about the story that changes everything. And if you let it, it will change you as well. And this last one, we surrender to His kingship. That's what the Magi story invites us to pay attention to. In the invitation to ask, what would it look like if I laid down my treasures before the King of Kings? Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When it comes to the characters within this story, you've got Herod. Herod is this corrupt, crazy, paranoid, rich, genius, architect slash murderer. He took anyone out who was a threat to his rule. Didn't matter if you were married to him, his wife, gone. Sons, gone. Anyone who was a threat to his rule was on the chopping block. Herod, crazy, paranoid ruler. Magi, these astrologers, these scholars, these political influencers, senators, if you will, of the East, of the Arabian Peninsula, whose purpose would be to travel and to be a part of affirming who would be the next king in that particular region. Picking up in verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Why? Because when the king is disturbed, he puts that disturbance on his subjects. And they can't live in peace if he is not living in peace. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, when he got all the seminary professors and gathered them up together, and all the preachers and all the elders and all the church leadership team members, and he brought them all together, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, we all replied, because why? We knew our scriptures. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. See, the religious leaders at the time, they knew the word of God. They were very, very much familiar with this. It's why they could quote it so quickly. But they didn't understand the fullness of it. They didn't understand the way in which this verse was pointing towards this special someone, this God in the flesh. Picking up in verse 7. When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Politicians fudging the truth. We know nothing about that in our day and age. Herod had zero desire to worship anyone other than himself. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, leading them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. King announcers bowing down and worshiping the king. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold for kingship, frankincense for priests, myrrh for sacrifice. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. How do these magi respond to what is going on? It's almost like Matthew is inviting us to pay attention to something. They worship. They worship. They worship. They worship. They lay down their treasures before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They give up what they're holding on so desperately to. They open themselves up and they lay it down before the King and they worship him. This is just a side note, but this is the genius of God's work in the world. For over 1,300 years, this moment has been unfolding itself. You go back and you look at Numbers chapter 24, Isaiah 60, Daniel chapter 2, Micah 5. And the anticipation of Isaiah 9 verse 2 is just ringing in the heavens. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. This light has appeared. Don't let another Christmas pass by without laying down your treasures, without really, truly being present in what this season is all about. Each year, we journey through the one question, what child is this? Each year, we pay attention to powerful words like joy, peace, hope, and love for the world. And this is what we believe. This child, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up in ancient Israel in some backwoods town known as Nazareth. Baptized by John the Baptist, taught and perfectly lived the truth about who God is. What his rule and reign is all about. His kingship performed miracles and wonders, betrayed and handed over by his own, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, buried, dead, raised to life on the third day by God the Father, ascended to the right hand of God in power and authority. And that is just the watered down cliff notes of what this story is all about. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the rescuer, the redeemer, the savior of the world, period. No fact checkers needed. If it's true, this story changes everything. It changes everything. But if we do not check ourselves, we can all too easily get caught up in two pretty influential S words I'm inviting us to pay attention to. The first one is we can get caught up in the sentimentality of this season. With some very, very influential Hallmark movies, or some very, very influential cartoon movies, or whatever it may be, we can get caught up in the sentimentality of the songs, which are very moving and very beautiful, and a part of what this season offers us. But if we do not check ourselves, that's all that we'll get from this season. It's just sentimental. And yeah, it feels good. It gives me the warm fuzzies. It gives me the ooshy-gooshies filling inside of me. And then before you know it, it's December 27th, and all the ooshy-gooshy is gone. And you have nothing left. Just memories of feeling sentimental. And then there is this other strong presence of selfishness. And one of the sentimental ooshy-gooshy stories reminded me of selfishness. Christmas Carol. You've got this character of Scrooge, who all he cared about was when the season was going to be over. That's all he cared about. When is this season going to be over so I can go back to doing business as usual? And that's where some of us are at right now. When is this going to be over? Checking the clock, he's been up there 25. When is this going to be over? Some of us are more worried about what's going to be under the tree tomorrow morning. Because that's what Christmas is all about, is what am I going to get? Some of you, your grandparents have already hooked you up nice. And your selfishness has subsided a little bit. It's been fed a little bit by what grandma or grandpa or aunt, uncle, or whoever may be has gifted you. But you're still waiting for what tomorrow morning is going to look like. Because it's all about you. Is it going to end? Is it going to be over? And what am I going to get? If we do not check ourselves before we know it, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, all of it will be a memory. The sentimental feelings gone. The selfishness attitude subsided until next year. So what remains? May I invite you and I to open ourselves up a little bit to the sacredness of what this season is all about. Story after story after story, they worship. They obey. They follow. They, in hope-filled faith, step out. In peace-filled faith, they step out. In joy-filled faith, despite the circumstances, they step out in faith and embrace the sacredness of what God was doing. It's no different for us today. Advent invites you and I to pay attention to three things. Two are truth-filled facts. Jesus has come. Jesus is coming back. A part of our Christian story, a part of our Orthodox faith, is that we believe that. Jesus has come, and Jesus is coming back. But there is a third invitation. Will you allow Jesus? Will you open yourself up and allow Jesus to fill your heart? That's the third invitation. He has come. He is coming back. What are you going to do between the in-between of those two things? Will you allow Jesus to fill your heart, to fill your life? Then you will know what real joy is all about. You will know what real hope is all about. You will know what real peace is all about. You'll know what real love is all about. Now to the fun time of the service. The lighting of the candles. We've got a funny good video that we showed last year from our skit guys. I'll kick that off in just a moment. But as every Sunday, the invitation, even though this is a special Christmas Eve service, if you are here this morning and you want more of the hope, love, joy, and peace that Jesus will bring into your life, please take advantage of you being here this morning. We will pray for you. We will listen to you. We will discern with you. We will talk with you. If you are in need this morning, please come down and see me. Please grab one of our shepherds. They'll be happy to listen. We will all be happy to listen with you. So even though this is not a typical kind of ending of our service, it still does not mean you cannot respond. So, the lighting of the candles. In just a few moments after our funny video, we will have ushers down here, and we're going to light up front and go backwards. Last year we did backwards front. Didn't work very well. So this year we're going to try something a little bit better. Maybe this will work. If not, next year we'll start on the sides. Maybe we'll figure out a way to get it right. But after the video, our ushers will come down and we'll get the lighting of the candles started.